Thank you so much, Joan. I appreciate this invitation. And I'm going to just, in Brooklyn I used to do this, so I should do it now, start with a prayer. And you're welcome to join me in the name of the Allegheny and of the Monongahela and of the Holy Ohio. Amen. I'm going to read from Once I Was Told the Air Was Not for Breathing, and it's divided into two sections. One is steelworkers in Pittsburgh, and I based many of the poems on research that I did. There was a study by the University of Pittsburgh Public Health that was looking into a steelworker's exposure to toxins and their mortality rate, and of course there was a positive relationship. And then the other half of the book is women garment workers in New York City. And I'm going to read some of those poems as well. And because of, in light of what happened in Bangladesh, I want any profits that I make from this book tonight are going to organizing efforts in Bangladesh. So I hope you will feel inclined to support that cause. Joan, can you let me know when 2 minutes, you know, so I'm on target here. Once I was told the air was not for breathing. Let's see here. I held my breath and counted backwards until my lungs began sucking in my body instead of the air that was not for breathing. If I were to be particular about the particulates, and I could, and I was, and I had to for myself and for the memory of the 20 in the smog who blued from asphyxiation, waiting for a 130-pound tank of oxygen, strapped on somebody's back, lugged from house to house in darkness, puffing them up with a little purity, and then gone for another who was just as particular about the particulates. The sulfur, carbon monoxide, heavy metal dust trapped in the river valley, and I imagined all of this in my lungs, inhaled my face and neck and chest, stomach, legs, and feet, until I was all inside myself. And I took one look at my lungs, the sponge that was now aboard, with no give, no take, the color of an oil slick, the song of a worm, and I wanted out. That's based on the incident in 1948 with the inversion in Donora and the people that lost their lives there. And one other poem from the steelworker section. And this is based on some research that I did in a book that was done on steelworkers at the time. The book was published in 1922. Can you hear me? Okay. Diary of a furnace worker cleaning number 7. The Italian tells me what to wear, jacket, winter cap to cover my neck and ears, a handkerchief tied over my face, and 2 pairs of gloves. I unscrew the trap on top of the stove, drop the ladder and climb down with teapot lamp and rod to poke out flue dust clogged in the checker work. Some of the dust is wet and caked, some is light and settles on my shoulders or flies in my nose. I blow through my nostrils to keep it out. Flames seem to go in with my breath. My lungs are paper on fire. I poke fast. The next hot blast is in 3 minutes. 3 minutes till I climb back up into air that soothes the sting on my arm. That evening at sewing time, I match my burns with holes on the sleeve, each one big enough to pass a match through, edges brown from the sparks. Will the sleeve last? I think about the hunky who talks of going back to his old country after 13 years in the mill. Every stitch closes in on him. He passes through the gate after his shift and walks along the graved path to the train station. He stops to look back and stands there like a stone pile on the embankment. Okay. These next poems are about the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire. 146 immigrants lost their lives, Jewish and Italian. This first one is called Eyewitness. Trapped behind a locked factory door so they wouldn't leave with a shirtwaist in their pocketbook when they finished their workday. Leaping from sewing table to sewing table across the floor, choking in a smoky cloakroom as their dresses caught fire. Pushed to the ledge by flames, crowding for air, windows popping, girls jumping, three and four together, waving their arms to keep upright. They leave with their names and their light. Identified. Sophie Salami, by the stitched knee of her stocking, Mama darned the day before. Ignazza Bellotta, the heel of her shoe, the cobbler repaired with a metal plate. Mary Leventhal, the gold cap Dr. Sahario set on her wisdom tooth last week. Gussie Bierman, by the pendant watch she wrapped around her neck twice. Julia Rosen, the hair braids her daughter Esther fixed for her that morning. Rosie Grosso, the savings she wrapped in cheesecloth and hid in her left stocking. Kate Leone, by a blue skirt she wore to Randall's Island Hospital to visit her son. Jenny Levin, the baby's sock found tucked in the heel of her shoe. Anna Cohen, box number 31. Celia Eisenberg, box number 56. Julia Alberstein, box number 32. On the lid of one coffin written with white chalk, Becky Kessler, call for tomorrow. And this is a poem that I wrote. What would the Triangle Girls say about the working conditions today for women in the garment industry? What would they say? And I wrote this before Bangladesh, but this is my response. Girl talk. The Triangle Girls say to the Chinese girls, the Indonesian girls, the Vietnamese, the Taiwanese, girls, girls, take your 16-hour workday and glue it to the sole of the shoe. Take your 20 cents an hour wage and glue it to the heel of the shoe. Take the $100, $80 he charges for the shoe and glue it to the padding of the shoe. And the Triangle Girls say to the Chinese girls, the Indonesian girls, the Vietnamese, the Taiwanese, girls, girls, take the room with six bunk beds and no place to stand and glue it to the arch of the shoe. Take the glue, glue, toxic glue, burning eyes, ringing ears, bleeding nose, and glue it to the tongue of the shoe. Take the fans and vents you don't have, gloves, masks, and aprons you don't wear, and glue them to the threads of the shoe. And the Triangle Girls say to the Chinese girls, the Indonesian girls, the Vietnamese, the Taiwanese, girls, girls, take the chopsticks you can't hold at lunch because your fingers are too numb and glue them to the Velcro of the shoe. Take the vertigo, headaches, vomiting, memory loss, shortness of breath, cancer, and glue it to the glue of the shoe. Take the glue, glue, toxic glue, and put it under his nose. a Nike nose, an anything goes nose, and make him sniff. Thank you. Okay, and I'm going to read this last poem, and it's I had the privilege of in Brooklyn working for a college where there was an ESL program, and part of my job was to teach English to, and it turns out that many of the students were Chinese immigrants, and one day, it was before, not too long before the anniversary of the centennial, the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire, and there was lots of emphasis because of that year and a big march and so forth. And so I thought this might be a good thing to, you know, talk about with my students. So I wrote the date on the board, and I was getting all ready. And I had a Chinese student come up to me and say that she wasn't going to be able to come to the class. And I thought it was just for the day, and it turns out that it wasn't. And you'll see what happens in the poem. But she was so sweet. She gave me this little apple and put it on the desk for me. One. Of my eye, the apple you set on my desk, delicious red-streaked yellow, tiny enough to cup in the palm of my hand, Mei Lu. Woman, mother, student, learning English, the words to say, you can't come to conversation club today. We'll miss you, I say, chalking the date, March 25th, 1911, on the blackboard to prepare for my lesson. Next week, yes? No, I work now. You found a job, doing what? Seamstress, she smiles, takes the chalk from my hand and draws pattern pieces. Tell me about the dresses you sew. How many pleats? How many cents? How many hours? How many times while I look into thick bangs, fringing your eyes and wonder, how many floors? How many escapes? How many doors will be locked? Two. Of my eye, the apple shaped as your heart, Mei Lu. Woman, mother, student, learning English, the words to say, your teacher can't take a bite. Hear the crisp, smell its sweetness break the air. Between us, when I think of clenching my fist to keep you safe, to keep you all safe, not bolts of fabric. Once you leave the room, the apple on the windowsill, a glaze of light to see how you stood at the stalls of fruit with baby on your hip, one hand in a bin, holding each to examine skin and boundary. Three. Of my eye, your apple inside my coat pocket during the centennial march of the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire, we carry 146 blouses with names and sashes bearing the names of workers who perished, who sat at a sewing table as you now sit. Bodies found leaning into their machines, huddled in the cloakroom, broken on the sidewalk below, shirtwaists raised to the sky. Their delicate sleeves float the wind down Broadway. Every life borrowed, every life returned. I think I'll stop there.